let's read Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. I want to be instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Okay? And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I want to talk to us today about the way of God. The way of God. God has a way. God has a way, and I want to be in the way of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. God, I pray that you'd help us here today. I pray that you'd touch our hearts and minds. I pray that you'd help us to receive your word with an open heart, Lord. I pray that you would just complete the work in us. Help us, Lord, to fulfill everything that you've called us to do and to be. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. We trust you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. Thank God for his word. I'm thankful for the word of God. We are so privileged and blessed to be able to read and to study and to understand the Bible, the word of God to us. If you have your Bible today, I want you to pick it up and hold it close. If you're maybe using a digital version of the Bible, open it up and just kind of hold it close today. It used to be that the Bible was only available to the elite. It was only produced in Latin, and so most people would have to rely on someone else to tell them what the Bible said. There was no way to know it for themselves. And you can just imagine what kind of problems that caused through the years. But thank God for his word. Amen. Thank God he's given us these words of truth. And we can read them in English. Amen. And we can understand them or in other languages around the world. It's the bread of life. Amen. We don't live just by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the scriptures, for our Bible. I want to tell you, the word of God, it's enough. It's enough all by itself. It doesn't need explanation. We don't have to have books and commentaries to go with it. All we really need is our Bible. If we read it, if we study it, if we apply it, if we do what it says, that's all we need to be saved. I encourage you to hide the word of God in your heart. Don't let it be a rare thing for you to ever read your Bible or to study your Bible. Don't let it be that the only time the word of God is in your life is when somebody is preaching or teaching. We need to know it for ourselves. If someone was totally isolated from civilization, if there was no one to tell them about God, if all they had to go on was a Bible, that would be enough. I believe that if they read it and if they studied it and just the Bible without anything else, that they would know who Jesus is, that he's God manifested in flesh, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the grave and gave us the plan of salvation. Amen. I believe if somebody had never heard preaching and all they had was a Bible to read, I believe they'd understand that we got to repent of our sins. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's there in the Bible. It's really not a mystery. We just have to look in the Bible to read it ourselves. Then why? Why is it today that there are so many in our world who do not repent of their sins? And they are not baptized in Jesus' name, like the Bible says. And they haven't experienced the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Why is it that they don't do what the Bible teaches? Because that's what they've been told by someone who should have known. A pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a friend. Someone told them, all you have to do to be saved is to repeat the sinner's prayer. And they received that instruction without just reading the Bible for themselves and just doing what it says. That's where so many are at in the Christian world today. They've gone through the motions of becoming a Christian. They've done what someone instructed them to do, but it was not based on what the Bible says. Today, I want you to watch a short video. This is by Francis Chan. Francis Chan is a Christian speaker and teacher, and I don't agree with everything that he says, but I do believe that there is a hunger there for truth, and so what he says in this video is so very powerful. I want you to watch this brief video with me for a minute. Isn't that something? So where did the sinner's prayer come from anyway? If it's not in the Bible, where is it from? How is it that so many people believe that all they need to do to be saved is to repeat a prayer that asks Jesus into their heart? Dwight L. Moody, an evangelist in the 1800s, was known to use the sinner's prayer. Billy Graham was probably the most well-known preacher to use the sinner's prayer. Organizations like Campus Crusade for Christ widely used it. Jimmy Swaggart and other televangelists would often ask people who were watching to repeat the sinner's prayer after them, one phrase at a time, in order to become a Christian. Churches today, they will talk about how they had hundreds or even thousands come to Christ and be saved in a service because they repeated the sinner's prayer. But here's the thing. The sinner's prayer is nowhere in the Bible. Now, I believe that there are some in the religious world who are being awakened today. They are starting to see the light of truth, and they have a choice to make. Will they go against what has been commonly accepted around the world as the way to heaven, even though it's not in the Bible, or will they decide that they're going to believe truth and maybe suffer ridicule and ostracizing and condemning by their religious friends to stand for what is in the Bible? Read with me or listen to the words today of David Platt, who was a Southern Baptist pastor. He said, "I am convinced that many people in our churches are simply missing the life of Christ, and a lot of it has to do with what we've sold them as the gospel. Pray this prayer. Accept Jesus into your heart. Invite Christ into your life. Should it not concern us that there is no such superstitious prayer in the New Testament? Should it not concern us that the Bible never uses the phrase, accept Jesus into your heart or invite Christ into your life? It's not the gospel that we see being preached. It's modern evangelism built on sinking sand. And it runs the risk of disillusioning millions of souls." He goes on to say that he's concerned that people say they believe in Jesus, say they've accepted Jesus, but they are not saved and will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a prominent Baptist pastor. So what does the Bible say about all of this? That's what we need to be looking at today. And in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I think Jesus, he would know, wouldn't he? He didn't tell Nicodemus, "Hey, I've got a little prayer that I want you to repeat after me." He didn't say anything about accepting him. Jesus said there was something we have to do. We've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, or we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at the words of Jesus again in Mark 16, 15. "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." He goes on to talk about the signs that are going to follow them that believe. They're going to cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. But what about today, all these Bible scholars? What about all of these smart people, all of these pastors and all these churches? And what about all these preachers and TV programs that tell people every day, we'll say this prayer and you'll be saved? And then there's so many people who are sincerely hungry for truth. They want to know what it takes to be saved, and they've been led astray by some that should know better, because it's so plain in the Word of God. I'm talking about pastors and teachers that have college degrees, doctors of divinity and theology, and they ought to know, but what we see is they know so much, yet know so little. They know so much, yet know so little. I'm thankful today I don't have to have 3 college degrees to find out how to be saved. Hallelujah. I don't have to study 1,000 books by religious writers to figure things out. All I've got to do is pick up my Bible and read it. All I've got to do is study the scripture and do what it says. All I've got to do is love the word of God and treat it with respect. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't just put your Bible as a book on the shelf somewhere. Don't just bring it out every once in a while when you go to church. Don't just let the preacher tell you what it says. No, you need to read it. You need to study it. You need to know it and understand it for yourself. The Apostle Paul said to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that does not mean that we all work out our own way to heaven. It means we're all responsible for our own salvation. We have to get in the Bible and understand how it says that we get to heaven. And the verses today we read from the book of Acts, and we're introduced to a man named Apollos. The Bible says he was a Jewish man. He was born at Alexandria. He was an eloquent speaker, and he was mighty in the scriptures. Acts 18:25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Okay, so he was instructed in the way of the Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was fervent in the spirit. Now, I don't know for sure, but it's possible that he had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he was teaching the things of the Lord, even though he only knew about the baptism of John. How is it that Apollos could know so much and yet know so little? Well, we have to remember that in that day, communication, it traveled very slow. It was not like it is today. Today, something happens in some corner of the world, and somebody broadcast it live and posted on Twitter, and it's around the world like that. But back then, it was a little different. It took time, and things had to travel, and it took time. But Apollos, he knew about John baptizing people and telling them that the Messiah was coming and that they needed to repent. Apollos might have even heard about what John said in Luke 3:16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But Acts 18:26 says that Apollos, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, who when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Apollos was a sincere man. He was an eloquent speaker, and he knew the Old Testament scriptures. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he knew the preaching of John the Baptist, and possibly had even been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there was more that he needed to know. Someone can have an experience with God and still not have complete knowledge and understanding. Our relationship with God, it's a growth process. And we all have room to grow. We all have room to grow. Don't discount the progress that somebody has made. Hallelujah. Maybe they've only come part way, but we're not going to discourage them in what they have done. We're just going to lovingly point out that there's more where that came from. And the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. We're going to encourage them to keep on coming all the way into full truth, because God has more for you. Hallelujah. Aquila and Priscilla, they heard Apollos speak, and they could tell he was sincere. But he did not have the full understanding of Jesus Christ. And so they shared with him the truth that he was missing. They didn't get up and call him out and rebuke him in front of everybody. That probably was not going to be the best approach to use. But in a loving way, they met with him alone. And with wisdom, they led him into the full knowledge of the truth that they had learned from the Apostle Paul. They had a home Bible study. A home Bible study. Not only do we need to know the Bible for ourselves so we can know for sure what it takes to be saved, but there's people in your neighborhood. You've got family members. You have people that you know. They want to go to heaven, and they're doing everything they've been told to do. They've accepted Jesus. They prayed the sinner's prayer. They're trying to live for God the best way they know how. But they need a home Bible study to share them the truth and the word of God. They don't need somebody on a street corner telling them they're going to hell. They'll just tune it out because, well, I've already accepted Jesus. No, what they need is for someone to be led of the Spirit, to be sensitive in the Holy Ghost, and to let God open the door to explain to them what it means to have full truth from the Word of God directly. Aquila and Priscilla, they took Apollos aside, and the Bible says they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Apollos had not yet been baptized in Jesus' name. He only knew about John's baptism. He was preaching to others, but he didn't even understand full truth himself. But their home Bible study worked. And when Aquila and Priscilla showed him, he saw it for himself. He got it. The light went on. I tell you, that's the most exciting thing, to be teaching somebody a Bible study. And then they see it. They see it for themselves. They get it. It just makes sense. And all of a sudden, Apollos, he saw the light. He saw the whole picture that Jesus was truly the Messiah that John had preached about, and that the Holy Ghost had been poured out since the day of Pentecost. And he saw the truth of baptism in Jesus' name. I am believing today that God is going to leave pastors and preachers who are very sincere. They love God, and maybe they've even been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, but because of how they were brought up, because of those who taught them, and maybe the school or the seminary they went to, they're not baptized in Jesus' name. But if they could just see it, if they could just see it, if God will help us to expound the way of God more perfectly, if God will help us to explain it more accurately to them, they're already on fire for God. They've already been reaching people. They already have a platform. And when they see it, when they get it, when they finally understand it for themselves, there is going to be a revival in the city of Springfield and around the world that is going to blow their minds. It's going to blow our minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody just needs you to explain the way of God more perfectly to them. They just need somebody to be wise and led of the Spirit. They just need a home Bible study. If you've never taught a home Bible study, if you've never attended a home Bible study, I'm calling you as your pastor, start a home Bible study. Well, Pastor, I don't have anybody to go. Do you have anybody else in your house? Do you have a wife? Do you have a husband? You got kids? Well, they're 2 years old. Get them in a home Bible study. There's no better place to learn how to teach a Bible study than have to keep the attention of a two-year-old. Trust me, if you can keep their attention, then you can keep somebody else's attention. Teach yourself. If you don't know where to start, talk to Brother Forgy. Wave your hand, Brother Forgy. He's helping us coordinate our home Bible study ministry. We have home Bible studies. I've talked about it, folks, and you've heard me talk about it. Literally, you open the home Bible study, you read the words, you turn to the Bible, you fill in the blank. It's not hard. Anybody can do it, okay? We need to learn how to teach home Bible studies. Praise the Lord. I believe God is going to help you to reach your neighbors, to reach your friends, to reach people in this city. They love God. They love God. They're trying to do their best. They just need somebody to show them the way more perfectly. And look at the results with Apollos. Acts chapter 18, verse 28 says, "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, by showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." Apollos left Ephesus, he went to Corinth, and he was a mighty worker for God. The church was blessed. Paul talks about Apollos several times. He says he was his brother. Aquila and Priscilla, they did a service, a great service to the kingdom of God when they led Apollos into the way of God more perfectly. Who is it that you and I know? Who is it that we think, well, they're in that church across town. They're a leader there. They teach Sunday school. Maybe they're the pastor. But they haven't seen the way of God more perfectly. And they're doing what they know to do at this point. They're doing what they learned in a Bible school somewhere. They're on fire for God. They pray. They even read their Bible. But they haven't seen it yet. Come on, can we be an Aquila? Can we be a Priscilla in their life to show them the way of God more perfectly? If not, they're going to be lost. They're going to go to hell. But hey, I want to tell you, God has given us this revelation. Don't just keep it for yourself, but let God use you to tell the world. Let's go from Acts chapter 18 to chapter 19. Read with me in Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." So here were some more like Apollos. Maybe they were even ones that Apollos had preached to. I don't know. But they were disciples. Now they had not heard that the Holy Ghost had been poured out since the day of Pentecost. They were doing everything they knew to do. But there was more. There was more. Acts chapter 19, verse 4. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So here were 12 men that had heard the preaching of John the Baptist somehow. They had come that far, but they still had further to go. They needed to see the way of God more perfectly. And Paul reminds them that John the Baptist had talked about one who was coming after him that would baptize him with the Holy Ghost and fire. They'd already been baptized by John, but they needed to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues. Before that, they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, but they received it there that day. And if you study this story, revival started in Ephesus. It started with just 12 men. It probably spread to their families and into their neighbors and to their friends. And the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it went on for about 2 years there, because there were some people that were hungry for the things of God. They didn't understand everything yet, but they had somebody show them the way more perfectly. Oh, what could God do in this city with just a few people that are hungry for the things of God? And God would lead us to them and say, "Here, have you noticed this in the Word of God? Have you seen how you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus? Have you seen how you need the gift of the Holy Ghost?" And they see it for themselves. And all of a sudden, they start telling their friends. They start telling their family. They kick it back to their church. And whole churches at a time are saved. You notice they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus. If we've not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ today, do we need to be rebaptized? It was important enough for them. We ought to be rebaptized too. Now, Paul didn't discount their baptism by John. He just showed them there's more. To many people, when they were baptized in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that was a defining moment in their life. They made big changes at that point. But they need to be rebaptized like the Bible says. Did you know there was never anyone baptized in the Bible in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It was always, go read it. Prove me wrong. Go read it. It was always in the name of Jesus Christ. Is it really that important, Pastor? Ask the Apostle Paul. He thought so. Now, most people don't pay a whole lot of attention when they're baptized. And so somebody will baptize them, quoting the words of Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. They'll just quote that scripture. But then they don't do what it says to do. They get close, but they're still far away. Jesus was telling them that they were to go and they were to baptize people. And that they were to baptize people in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. The only way to do what Jesus was telling them to do is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only name that satisfies those three things. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. It's their titles. The Holy Spirit, that's not a name. It's a title. Now, used to be banks would have signature cards. They kind of changed it up a little bit today. They don't pay as much attention. Used to be if a check came through and it had a signature that did not match that signature card, they'd say, now, hey, this may not be right. And they wouldn't cash it. But today it's a little different. Most people use a debit card today. But for those of you that still understand how checks work, if I take my checkbook that has $3 in the account or whatever it might be, and on the top it says Brian and Denise McCoy, and down there on that line I make it out for $1 million or whatever. Wouldn't that be nice? And I sign my name, but I sign Father. Am I a father? Yes, I'm a father. But that's not my name. Am I a son? Yes, I'm a son. But if I sign son, I'm not signing my name. I'm a brother. I'm a pastor. There's other titles that I have in life. But what they need on that line is for me to sign my name. I want to be baptized the way the Bible says, and Jesus said, you got to do it in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. What's that name? The only name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that we know who Jesus is. I'm thankful that we can be baptized in His name. We can call on His name. We live according to His name. Jesus said He came in His Father's name, John 5:43. The Comforter of the and the Holy Ghost comes to us in the name of Jesus, according to John 14:26. The angel said of the Son of God, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. To baptize someone, just quoting the words of Matthew 28:19, Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That leaves out the name that we must be saved by, the name of Jesus Christ. So it does not obey the scriptures of the Bible that command us to be baptized in Jesus' name. Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Just read through this Bible. Just read. You'll see time and time again, everyone who was baptized in the New Testament church, it says it, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. It's the only way they baptized. Now, it's a historical fact today. For the first 100 years, they only baptized in Jesus' name. After that, there were some who changed it. And then there was a disagreement about what should be done, and the Trinity was developed. You can even read today in old encyclopedias how the baptism formula changed. on your phone. Go home, don't do it right now, but on your phone, you can ask Siri, when was the baptism formula changed? She'll quote the Encyclopedia Britannica 11th edition, volume 3, pages 365 to 366, which says, the baptism formula was changed from the name of Jesus Christ to the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by the Catholic Church in the second century. Page 82 says, everywhere in the oldest sources, it states that baptism took place in the name of Jesus Christ. Page 53 of the Canon Encyclopedia of Religion says, the early church baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the development of the Trinity doctrine in the second century. There's similar results in the Catholic Encyclopedia, in Hastings Encyclopedia, in many more. I don't need something that was made up by man. I want to know the way of God. I want to see it for myself. I want to read it for myself. Come on. The old song says, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. That's what I want. I want to go back to the source. I want to do it the way God says. I want that old time religion. If it was good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want the way of God. I want to go by the word of God. What did the New Testament church teach people? How were they saved? They followed what Jesus said. You got to be born again of the water. Got to be born of the Spirit. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, all of those that were there that day, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There is a way of God. There is a way that we are to be saved. A lot of people are saying, here's how you get to heaven. You do this, you say that. No, I want to go back to God's way. All we got to do is read our Bible and do what it teaches. How do we know the way of God? We read his word. If you've not repented of your sins, you need to do that today. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. If you don't remember how you were baptized and you were baptized as a baby, you need to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need to ask that God would pour out his Spirit in your life today. When you repent, when you're baptized, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's the way of God. I don't know about you today, but I want to make sure I'm in the way that God has commanded. I want to make sure I'm following the way that God has given us. I want to make sure that I'm in his will and in his plan. I don't want to get to eternity and stand there before God and realize that there was something that I missed. Sometimes I think that, I wonder how these different religious leaders, sometimes the stuff they say is profound. I've heard teaching on YouTube about various subjects from the Word of God. I'm like, man, that's awesome. And it lines up with the Word of God. But then they'll go from that and hear, say the sinner's prayer. I don't understand that. But it's what they've learned from a child. It's what they were taught in Bible college somewhere. It's what somebody told them they needed to do, and so they've just gone with that. I don't care who the authority is that said that. If it's not in the Word of God, I want to choose the way of God. I want to choose the way of God. I wonder if we could stand in closing today. Many people today have an incomplete relationship with Jesus Christ. They confess their faith in Jesus, but they've never acted on their faith to receive full salvation. good works will not save anybody. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. The way of God is to follow the Bible, to repent, to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're here today and I've come against some foundations and thinking in your life, I encourage you, let's get together. Let's study what the Bible says. Brother Forgy over here, Rick Forgy, he's our Bible study coordinator. If some of this is like, wow, I've never heard this before. Pastor, you're really coming against everything I've heard from when I was a kid. Talk to Rick Forgy, get in a Bible study. It's free, okay? We won't even charge you. But we need to know the way of God. We need to know the way of God. There's many people who are like Apollos. They've had an experience with God. They love the Lord. They're doing everything they know to do. They're passionate about it. They're telling others. But if they've not been baptized in Jesus' name, they need to see the way of God more perfectly. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." I was just a kid. I don't know, probably about 4 years old. And I have this distinct memory of going to this other church in the town where my dad was a pastor, Tyler, Texas. And I was just playing with some of the kids or something, and I questioned and I asked, "Well, what are we doing here, Mom? What's going on?" And I can remember that church had been teaching the way that they thought was the way to teach. And somehow there was a connection made, and that pastor began to visit with my dad and to ask questions and say, "Well, what does this mean?" And he saw it. He saw it, and my dad was able to rebaptize that pastor in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then that whole church was rebaptized. Because the pastor saw it, and the pastor shared it, and they got it in their heart, and they said, "We want to be in the way that God says." Hallelujah. I want to see that happen here. I'm praying that that will happen. When I pass some of these churches in town, I'm praying, "Lord, God, I know that they love you. I know that they're serving you to the best of their ability, but I believe there's more. I believe there's more. And God, just open the door. Just make a way for me to be able to talk to them." And I tell you, when I go into a restaurant, I'm looking for some of those pastors. I'm looking for some of those people. I'm looking for some of those businessmen. I know who they are. I've got it in my mind. And when I see them, there's going to be an open door there somehow. I don't know how God's going to do it, but they need somebody to expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. Come on, folks. We can't let people go without. They need to know the way of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues, you're missing out on the best part. The best part. Peter said the promise is to all those there on the day of Pentecost, to their children, and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That includes you and that includes me. And then I pray that God would give us the wisdom and the anointing of Aquila and Priscilla. It was a husband and wife team. I believe everywhere they're mentioned together. I don't believe they're ever mentioned separately. They were a team. They were working together. Husbands, look at your wife. Tell them, "We're a team." Wives, look at your husband. Tell them, "We're a team." Would you let God lead you? Would you let God open the door? I'm thinking right now of a neighbor down the street. Wonderful people. Wonderful people. They're satisfied. They're comfortable. They feel like they're doing what's right. They go to their church and they do everything they've been told to do. But God, would you stir their heart? And would you let my wife and I be able to sit down with them over coffee, or sit down maybe and play a card game and just open the door, and here we're playing cards and just fellowshipping, and all of a sudden the door opens. Well, tell me about your church, and how's your church different? And Lord, just open the door and give me the anointing and the wisdom of Aquila and Priscilla to show the way of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The way of God, the way of God. There's a way unto salvation, but there's also a way in the perfect will of God for our lives. Today, I want you to say, Lord, God, I surrender to your will. I surrender to your plan. Whatever it is, God, if you'll just show me, if you'll just direct me, if you'll just lead me, I want to be in the way of God. I don't want to be following my own way. I don't want to be following somebody else's way, but Lord, I want to follow your way for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wonder, this altar is open today, I wonder if somebody would come and say, I just need the Lord. I need him to work in my heart. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. Maybe you need to be baptized today. Maybe you need the gift of the Holy Ghost. But maybe you just need to surrender to God and say, I'm tired of following my way. I want the way of God. Would you come today and let God speak to your heart? Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Would you surrender to him right now? I need you, Jesus. I need the way that you have for me, God. I want to follow your will. I want to follow your plan. Lord, I don't want to be led by anything else, Lord, that goes against your word, that goes against your way. But Lord, help me to get in the word. Help me to love the truth, God. Help me to surrender to you, Lord. Let your will be done in me.